The fruit group. Fruits are loaded with vitamins and, of course, have no fat or cholesterol. Many people with diabetes imagine that because fruits are sweet, they will raise blood sugar. The fact is, though, that nearly all fruits, apples, bananas, blueberries, cherries, clementines, oranges, peaches, pears, and most others, have a low GI. The exceptions are watermelon and pineapple. Grapefruit interacts with medications. Surprising as it sounds, if you are on medications, you may need to avoid grapefruit. This citrus fruit inhibits intestinal enzymes that metabolize several medications. A glass of grapefruit juice can measurably increase the blood concentrations of cholesterol-lowering drugs, such as atorvastatin, Lipitor, simvastatin, Zocor, lovastatin, Mevacor, among others. It does the same for drugs commonly used to control blood pressure, such as amlodipine, Norvasc, nifedipine, Adalat, Procardia, and verapamil, Isoptin, Calin. Ditto for antihistamines and some psychiatric medications, such as diazepam, Valium. The grapefruit effect lasts for 24 hours or more, and in rare cases, the concentrations of drugs in the bloodstream can increase to toxic levels. These lists are not exhaustive, and the effects vary from one person to another. So if you are on any medication, check with your doctor about how grapefruit might affect you. Researchers are currently testing the extent to which other citrus juices, such as orange juice, may have similar effects. How many servings should you have from each group? The guidelines are whole grains, 8 per day, legumes, 3 per day, vegetables, 4 or more per day, fruits, 3 or more per day. But you can vary these serving sizes as much as you like. If you prefer Mediterranean cuisine, your plate may be rich in vegetables and pasta. If Asian food is your thing, your plate may hold generous portions of whole grains. If you love Latin American foods, you might go for bean and rice dishes. If you come from a typical North American background, you will probably want a variety of all four. In the next chapter, I will show you some easy, delicious ways to get started. It goes without saying that the recommended foods do not include meat, dairy products, eggs, or greasy fried foods. You should also add a daily multivitamin. It will provide vitamin B12, which you need for healthy blood and nerves, and which is not found in substantial amounts in plant foods, except for fortified products. A multi also provides vitamin D. While sunlight on your skin provides D naturally, modern life takes most of us out of the sun. In choosing a multivitamin, I would suggest an iron-free brand, unless your doctor recommends otherwise. Most people have plenty of stored iron already, and iron overload can be harmful. Okay, now that you understand the new four food groups, at least in theory, let's move on to the next step. Step 2. Try out a recipe or two. Before you jump into a new way of eating, take a few recipes for a test drive. Listen to the next chapter for ideas and browse through the menus and recipes section. You will find a great many possibilities to get you started. If you rarely cook and tend to eat at restaurants, the next chapter will have many tips on things you can look for. Your goal is to identify healthy breakfasts, lunches, and dinners that you really like. That means meals that meet all of our guidelines, no animal products, minimal vegetable oils, and low GI, and appeal to your tastes. Remember that this new way of eating does not mean making a new dish every night. William Castelli, MD, former director of the Framingham Heart Study, used to say that most of us tend to stick to our favorite meals. We may have 8 or 9 different dinners we like, and we pick from that repertoire night after night. All you need to do is find 8 or 9 healthy meals that suit your tastes, and you are set. Step 3. Pick 3 weeks. Some people like to ease their way gradually into a healthier diet pattern. If you are among that group, go ahead. Take your time getting to know healthier foods. But I advise a different approach. Mark a 3-week period on your calendar when you plan to embrace this program. Before you reach your start date, Identify meals that fit our criteria and appeal to you. When the start day arrives, commit yourself completely for 21 days. As I tell our research participants, this is not the time to stick your toe in the swimming pool. It's time to jump in. Really do it. And there are two reasons for this. First, it gives you fast results. If you have a healthy meal on Monday and another on Saturday, your body will not notice any difference. But if you do it at every meal, gains come quickly. Give yourself a chance to see how it feels to be on as perfect a diet as possible. The second reason is that a diet change really is like getting into a swimming pool. If you ease your way into the water bit by bit, it is a painful process. But if you plunge in, very soon you see that the water feels fine. Let me explain. Did you ever switch from whole milk to fat-free milk? If you're like most people, that first glass of fat-free seemed watery and maybe even discolored. After a couple of weeks, though, you became totally used to the lighter taste. Before long, whole milk seemed thick and distasteful. Now, I'm not suggesting that fat-free milk is a health food. As you have seen, there are good reasons to avoid it. But when you lighten your diet, your tastes rapidly change. Very soon, you come to prefer the new, healthier taste. You will find that your taste buds have a memory of about 3 weeks, and jumping into the diet change allows them to adjust quickly. Instead of pining over the unhealthy foods you have left behind, you will be surprised to find that you miss them very little. If a 100% diet change sounds like a tall order, let me make it a bit more approachable. You do not need to commit to it forever. You just need to give it a try. At this point, there's no need to swear off bacon double cheeseburgers, pledge your loyalty to oatmeal, or make any other daunting promises. Just give it 3 weeks. During that time, really do it 100%, and you will get a good sense of what the diet will do while still keeping all your options open. Step 4. Get to know transition foods. Modern technology has brought us plenty of modern annoyances, ringing cell phones, crowded freeways, and junk email. But once in a while, it's actually useful. The food industry has managed to mimic unhealthy foods with more healthful varieties. The hot dog, long reviled by nutritionists, gained a measure of respectability once food scientists figured out how to transform soybeans into a frankfurter. Veggie hot dogs, veggie burgers, and veggie sausages debuted in health food stores but are now sold everywhere. Even deli salami, turkey, chicken, and bologna have soy or wheat counterparts that look and taste very much like the real thing, with zero animal fat and cholesterol. These foods are hardly the pinnacle of fine dining, but they are practical. If you have children, they are an absolute gift. If you saw what goes into a real hot dog, it would become the last thing you would want to see heading for your child's mouth. But a veggie version is something you can bring home with pride, and your kids will love them. These products help you through the transition to a broader range of healthy foods. Soy milk has arrived big time. Once, buying soy milk meant shopping at a health food store that was dingy and dark. The cashier was wearing a tie-dyed shirt, his name was Sunshine, and folk music was playing in the background. Worst of all, the soy milk came in powder form, and you had to mix it with water and pour it on your cereal quickly before it precipitated. Well, those days are gone. Health food stores are big businesses that know a thing or two about customer service. The folk music is gone, too. And there are a number of flavors of soy milk, along with rice milk, almond milk, oat milk, and other varieties. Regular supermarkets stock these products too, and people from all walks of life enjoy them. As you shop for meat and dairy substitutes, take a look at the labels. When you check the ingredient lists, you will see that some products are not quite as vegetarian as you might like because they include egg whites or dairy proteins. Choose the vegan versions and look for those that are lowest in fat. Complete nutrition. When you follow the nutrition guidelines in this chapter, your diet is likely to improve dramatically. Not only will you skip all the animal fat and cholesterol, you will get much more of the healthy nutrients your body needs. Soluble fiber to cut cholesterol, healthy vitamins to reduce cancer risk, potassium to lower blood pressure, and antioxidants to knock out free radicals, to name a few. Even so, you are making a big change, and you are likely to wonder whether you are missing out on anything. Let me offer a word of reassurance. If you choose your meals from a variety of whole grains, legumes, vegetables, and fruits, and add any common daily multivitamin, you will have your bases covered. Here's where the healthy nutrients are on your plate. Protein. Your body uses protein to build and repair body tissues. Proteins are made up of small molecules called amino acids. All the proteins in your skin, muscles, bones, and internal organs are built from various combinations of about 20 different amino acids. A healthy diet of beans, grains, vegetables, and fruits provides all the protein you need. In fact, you are better off getting protein from plant sources. While animal protein can be hard on the delicate tissues of the kidneys, plant proteins appear to be free of this problem. They are also free of the risks of calcium loss and kidney stones associated with animal protein. Animal protein tends to cause calcium to pass through the kidneys and into the urine. In the process, calcium is not only lost, but it ends up in your urinary tract, where it can cause stones. In years past, some nutritionists believed that vegetarians needed to carefully combine various foods in order to get adequate protein. The idea was that foods from plants might be missing one or more amino acids, so only combining foods in certain ways would ensure that you got them all. This notion was set aside long ago. The American Dietetic Association's official position statements make it clear that plant-based diets provide plenty of protein without combining foods in any particular way. If, for any reason, you wish to increase your protein intake, turn to the bean group. You can find plenty of protein in soy products such as tofu, tempeh, and soy milk, and in wheat derivatives like seitan, used to make meat substitutes. Calcium. For many people, calcium and milk are almost synonymous. They think that milk will build strong bones and protect against fractures later in life. Research has shown, however, that milk's benefits are for the most part a myth. The Nurses' Health Study, conducted by Harvard University, followed 72,337 women over an 18-year period to determine, among other things, whether milk drinkers had fewer hip fractures later in life. It turned out that those who drank the most milk had no protection whatsoever. That's right. Women who drank 3 glasses of milk a day were just as likely to break a hip as women who never drank it. How can that be? Well, only about 1/3 of milk's calcium is absorbed by the body. The other 2/3 simply passes out with the wastes. In addition, milk contains animal protein and sodium, both of which tend to increase calcium loss through the kidneys. Do not misunderstand me here. You need some calcium in your diet, but it should come from healthful sources, namely green leafy vegetables and beans. While there is somewhat less calcium in broccoli than in milk, the absorption fraction, the percentage that your body can actually use, is higher for broccoli and nearly all other greens than for milk. There is one exception. Spinach is high in calcium, but the absorption fraction is very low. Greens and beans will give you the calcium your body needs. If you are looking for extra calcium for whatever reason, you can find plenty more in fortified juices and soy milks. To maintain calcium balance, however, it is important not only to take in an adequate amount, but also to minimize losses. Animal protein causes your body to lose calcium through the kidneys, and it can be measured in the urine. Studies of high-protein diets, such as the Atkins diet, dramatically demonstrate the losses. Such diets increased calcium loss by more than 50%. It is also important to limit sodium, salt, and get vitamin D from either sunlight or supplements. Vegetables and fruits promote bone strength for reasons that are not entirely clear, and exercise gives your bones a reason to live. It is a strong determiner of bone health. Finally, it is also important to avoid tobacco, since smoking increases fracture risk. Iron. Iron is a double-edged sword. You need iron to build hemoglobin, which your red blood cells use to carry oxygen from your lungs to your body tissues. But too much iron can be toxic. It can increase the risk of heart problems and may even worsen insulin resistance. Iron encourages the production of unstable molecules called free radicals, which can damage your body's delicate tissues and are linked to heart disease, cancer, and even certain aspects of the aging process. The most healthful iron sources are the same foods that bring you calcium, beans and green leafy vegetables. They are rich in iron, but carry it in a special form called non-heme iron. Your body easily absorbs this form when it's in need of more iron, but the iron passes harmlessly out of the body when you have all you need. In contrast, meats contain heme iron, which is like an uninvited guest at your party. It barges in whether you need it or not. Over the long run, meat eaters tend to accumulate too much iron. If you are anemic, do not rush out and buy iron supplements or, worse, add lots of meat to your diet. Instead, work with your doctor to find out what kind of anemia you have and why it occurred. Anemia can be a sign of kidney disease, it can be caused by certain drugs, and it can be a sign of blood loss from your digestive tract caused by gastrointestinal irritation or even colon cancer. It is essential that you be evaluated and treated appropriately. If you do need extra iron, turn first to greens and beans. Vitamin C-rich foods, such as fruits and vegetables, increase the absorption of iron from the other foods you eat, and avoiding dairy products helps too. They are very low in iron and actually reduce its absorption from your digestive tract. Zinc. Zinc plays important roles in immune function, wound healing, and many other biological functions, but as with iron, you can't have too much of a good thing. The most healthful sources include legumes, nuts, and fortified breakfast cereals, such as Post Grape Nuts bran flakes and granola. Fat. Good fats, bad fats, and too much fat. How do we make sense of it all? The most important fat fact is this. Your body's actual fat requirement is minuscule, as you saw earlier. Most people in Western countries get many times the needed amount. With meats and dairy products front and center in their diets, they not only get too much fat overall, they also get the wrong kind, saturated fat, which boosts cholesterol and aggravates insulin resistance. Nuts, seeds, avocados, olives, and full-fat soy products are also high in fat. Although they are low in saturated fat, the overall amount is high, and you should limit these foods accordingly. As you also heard earlier, most vegetables, fruits, and beans contain very little fat, and what they do have is a healthful mixture, including traces of the essential fats, alpha-linolenic acid and linoleic acid. If for any medical reason you are increasing your oil intake, healthful sources of omega-3 fats include walnuts, soy products, flaxseed, and in concentrated form, flax, linseed, canola, and walnut oils. Omega-6 oils are also sometimes used for health conditions such as arthritis, usually in the form of evening primrose oil, borage oil, black currant oil, or hemp oil. They should be thought of as medicinal supplements rather than as foods. Vitamin B12. Your body uses vitamin B12 to keep nerves and blood cells healthy. The amount you need is extremely small. The most convenient source is a typical multivitamin. You will also find it in many fortified breakfast cereals, fortified soy milk, and other supplemented products. Vitamin B12 is not made by animals or plants, but rather by bacteria and other single-celled organisms. How does this substance get from bacteria to the human body? We presume that before the advent of modern hygiene practices, there were traces of bacteria in the soil and on vegetables and fruits that provided tiny traces of vitamin B12. In addition, bacteria in animals' intestinal tracts produce vitamin B12, and traces of it end up in meat and other animal products. The problem with these sources is that along with it come cholesterol, fat, and animal proteins. The sources we've listed provide the B12 you need without all that. Vitamin D. Technically, vitamin D is not a vitamin at all. It's actually a hormone produced by sunlight on your skin, which is then converted to its active forms as it passes through your liver and kidneys. Once activated, it helps you absorb calcium and helps protect your cells against cancer, among other functions. If you get plenty of sun, you do not need any vitamin D in your diet. Most of us are not that lucky, however. If you do not get regular sun exposure, taking a multivitamin containing 400 international units of vitamin D is important. Because of vitamin D's anti-cancer properties, some authorities call for higher intakes. In the next chapter, you will get started with your new program, and then, in Chapter 7, I will show you how to track your progress.